This is it. The White Tunes in the Shuffle.
Charlie Hester in the house.
Hey!
David, I'm so excited for this show because Charlie is in from Chicago visiting me for the weekend. Not me, but she's here to make the stand-up dreams come true. And so
for a week. Yay!
She's been hanging out, and every time music comes up, she's like, no, no. No, no, we're going to wait until Saturday.
This is perfect.
Finally Saturday.
I'm so excited to hear everything. And I want to dig in, but let's talk about you and how you got here and how you started comedy and you travel. And there's something really special about your stand-up.
I play the ukulele and I sing dirty songs.
Wow. That's
my shtick.
Okay, now as a foundation for the story of your life,
yes,
that opens up so many potential doors.
It really does.
Who gave you your first ukulele?
Actually, I got it after I started doing stand-up. I was doing straight stand-up for the first, four or five times that I got up on the boards. And I just decided that that wasn't who I was.
You needed something.
I needed something. And I've always loved doing like parody songs. And so I decided that it was a lot easier to learn how to play ukulele than try and drag a keyboard or
so you
piano
not only,
on stage.
So you decided to get a ukulele and you didn't even know how to play it.
No, I still kind of don't, but that's okay. It's part of my charm that I'm so terrible on it, but I make it work, you know?
And the dirty songs, I mean, as Maggie and I kind of continue to develop this little, you know, gift that we found together, the Y Tunes and the Shuffle, I'm finding that Maggie, you know, like myself, likes the dirty talk.
Well,
and is open to, you know, we're comfortable talking about,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah, well, the funny
fucking
thing
is
that,
yeah, a good ass fucking is something that, you know, okay, I went too far. But
are
now you open the door to dirty songs.
Too soon? Too soon.
But it's funny because I do mention that in several of my songs. So, yeah.
The Y-Tune Shuffle is a magical show because there's all kinds of weird connections, which music naturally brings about.
Yes.
So I want to get dirty in this show. I've already decided it. So you get the ukulele, you bring it on stage, and then what?
And then I usually start cracking just, you know, an introductory joke. Mm-hmm. Sorry, words are hard this morning. I need more coffee. And then, yeah, I just kind of dive right into it. I give a real quick setup. I break them in slowly. Mm. You know, it's sort of like finding somebody new to share your time with. You sort of ease them into your level of crazy. And
let me tell you, the first time that I saw Charlie perform, we were at an after prom show.
So, wait, teenagers?
Yeah. Yes.
So a show for teenagers.
Yeah. It was in this tiny, tiny town in Illinois.
Mm-hmm.
And we both, I don't know, I think it was Rich Wentz put it on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Who's
love
that?
Him.
Who's Rich Wentz?
He's a friend of ours from,
Booker?
He was
just,
from Champaign area.
Okay.
No, he's
just
another
comedian.
Comic.
Yeah, just another comedian.
Right. Really great guy, too.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So he gets you set up for this.
Yes.
Yes. And so he put they literally locked all the kids in this
school,
and they couldn't leave until 5 a.m. And so I don't think we went on stage till about 3 a.m.
Yeah.
It was nuts.
Yeah.
It was so nuts.
And kids were exhausted. And
we were exhausted.
Yeah, we were exhausted. Like,
had to be clean comedy.
You told a story. Your stand-up was about Target or something that night. Like,
probably.
I think
it was awful.
Yeah.
This is a short film. This is a great short film.
I did tell a story about Polaroid cameras, and one of the students came up to me afterwards. She's like, I have a Polaroid. And she insisted that we took a picture together, and gave it to me. It was, I still have it.
Oh,
that's nice.
I know, and I thought I bombed. I was like, ugh.
Was that the first time you met?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, so this was okay.
And it was funny because I knew who she was because Maggie's, she's kind of a big deal back where I'm from. Everybody loves Maggie Mayfield.
Oh, I'm so surprised.
They do.
Really?
You know, it's the Midwest, and she's just this super sweet, endearing voice that we all came to know and love.
Uh-huh.
And then I met her, and I was just like, I need to be friends with her, like, forever.
I think
we've cemented that now.
My stepfather used to say about people like Maggie, she's good people.
Yeah,
she's
truly,
good people.
Truly.
No, I got that vibe. Yeah. I met her in an improv audition. It's like, you and you, get up there. Hello, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. And now look at you now.
Yes, it's amazing.
Improving all the time together.
And then we're back at the school. You do the show.
Yeah.
And that was...
And you, I mean, you killed it. You were absolutely great. I think you were the highlight of the show.
I sang a SpongeBob song because, everything that... I sing the campfire song because... everything that I have is dirty, and I could not assault these teenagers with all of that. Although I did warn them that tequila gets you pregnant. So I feel like I did my
did your job.
Yeah. Yes, due diligence with society.
Yes. Girls, they learned something.
Don't drink tequila. It will
working
knock
with
you
teenagers
out.
Somewhere there is a 20-something who still believes that, I'm sure, you know.
It's true.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
Good for you.
So you brought a list of songs with you.
Your Y-Tune Shuffle.
I brought my phone with all of my, well, because I'm on the road a lot for comedy.
Yes, you are.
And so I have like certain playlists that I listen to at certain times. And I am very ritualistic about music. Like,
you're in the right place.
There is so much thought and meaning into what I do. And on the way to the airport for this trip, I was like, I'm not doing a show. I don't have to do it the way I always do it. And so I actually put my favorite playlist on shuffle, and it confused me because I'm like, I don't know how to feel. Normally I have like this beautiful tide of emotions that I know exactly, you know, where my heart is going with the music and
the meaning. Did you name the playlist?
Well, I have two, and I listen to both of them because it's a really fucking long drive to Chicago. One of them is called the Chicago Mix, and that's my long one that I do. And then the other one is called the Atta Girl Mix.
Atta Girl. Atta Girl.
Power positive thinking, man. Mm-hmm. You got to do it. Yes. So this is pretty schizophrenic. All right, here's the first one.
Already, yeah. I love this the style. It's like lounge.
Fly me to the moon and let me
right?
play among the stars.
Isn't that lovely?
Like, does a Sinatra do this? Fly
yeah, he does. Yeah. I love this version. This is actually from the Down With Love soundtrack. Oh, sorry. The Down With Love soundtrack. And which is a great movie with Renee Zellweger and Ewan McGregor. And it's like this 1950s kitsch thing, and it's all about, you know, the introduction of sexuality into a woman's world.
Oh wow. Hell
yeah. Yeah.
Like Kinsey Report time, what was that, when that was happening? The Kinsey Report?
Yeah, I mean that that same general area. And
who's singing?
This is Astrid Gilberto.
God, I love the voice.
Right? It's so like svelte and delightful. I don't know, it just kinda...
Where did you hear that the first time?
On the movie. Okay. And I fell in love with it. It was just absolutely, it just emitted this feeling in my heart like, okay, the world is beautiful.
Yeah.
I can handle this. Mm. People can no longer piss me off because I've listened to this song.
Is it an Atta Girl or a Chicago Mix?
This is a Chicago Mix.
And why is it a Chicago Mix?
This is what I listen to on my way to stand-up shows.
It's an interesting get pumped song.
Yeah.
It's really kind of smoothy, jazzy.
Yeah.
When I was a bartender in college, it was Let's Go Crazy by Prince. That I would listen every, on my fucking cassette deck in my 71 Le Mans. I'd be in the parking lot. I'm going to stand in front of all the college kids and pour drinks and have to look cool.
Right.
Yes, but this is a very different take on pump-up songs.
Yeah, I'm an odd duck, and I admit that fully, and my music choices reflect that.
It is quite interesting.
Yeah, I like the quirky stuff.
Can you talk about your ritual a little bit? Like, can you break it down? Like, what do you do before a show?
I can tell you a few of the things I do.
like step 1 through 3 and
yeah,
7 to 9. Okay.
Yeah. First of all, I get in the car and I have to have my ukulele in the seat next to me because.
Do you put the seatbelt on?
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
I just got to know, for what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a little Hyundai Elantra GT.
Nice car.
Has heated seats. And that's an important
Chicago.
Part of the ritual.
Do you put the heated seat on for your ukulele also?
No,
you
I don't
heard
because
it.
Well, I don't. Yeah, I don't want to mess up the tuning unless it's really cold.
This is like a ventriloquist doll that comes to life.
I know. Well, but Catsy's, I mean, it's my weapon. You know, that's what I go up and I just.
Does it have a name?
Catsy.
Okay.
Yeah, because it has Dr. Katz on the front.
Oh, okay.
So that I hand painted on there.
Yeah,
so.
I wish I could get a picture for a promotional picture of it. It's amazing ukulele. You've painted Laura and Ben and
Dr. Katz. And then the little cat, the hanging there baby cat. It looks like it's hanging off one of the strings.
It looks, the artwork is beautiful.
Thank you.
You did that.
Yeah, I did. I'm a big artist and I do all sorts of weird
with
Uber
rituals.
Fangirl. Yeah.
We're in the car.
Oh, yeah, rituals.
The ukulele is next to you.
Yes. I have my Coke Zero. in, actually, I have two.
What are you wearing? I'm sorry. No, go ahead.
Oh, no, that's fine. No. Actually, that is an important part.
Really?
Yeah. I wear cocktail dresses because anytime that I wear pants doing stand-up, I bomb.
Oh. Wow. Yeah. You're like a pitcher, a major league pitcher. Baseball.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. When the weather is cold, I always wear thigh highs and my little garter belt. It's my lucky thing. But I think that it helps you to feel powerful and beautiful and sexual mm-hmm. underneath all of it. And that equates to power on the stage.
Absolutely.
And when you walk up and you have that power on stage, it changes how people perceive you because they believe you. You don't have to convince them that they like you. They already feel like they do. And so half the battle's won.
How do you get to a point where you know that the rituals that you're performing not only are effective for you, but I'm just curious. I work with children extensively and mm-hmm. have for many years, and especially with young women, you know, to adopt that what I'm doing is empowering me. I mean, how does one get to that point where you're, was it taught to you? Was it something you acquired?
No.
Necessity?
It was a lot of necessity. I actually went through, in 2009, I started losing weight and I lost 101 pounds. Yep.
That's amazing.
Yeah, thank you. Yay!
Yeah,
wow.
Bravo, girl. That's amazing.
But I learned so much about who I was as a person, and I learned about how I had limited my personal power during most of my adult life because I'd sort of given into that fear and complacency. And so now I realize that, nope, I am capable of so much more than I even gave myself credit for. And so now I'm just like running and attacking it. So, yeah. And really, that's how. I mean, it's been trial and error. There have been some things that have worked for me and some things that didn't work, like wearing pants on stage, you know, mm-hmm. and so you just kind of figure it out. And
so it's your dress, it's where the ukulele sits.
The red lips.
Red
yes.
lips.
Oh,
have to be red.
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Very. And it's funny because everybody that has ever seen me do stand up, they know. But, you know, it's personal branding. And,
oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
of
that's,
course.
It's
yeah.
all marketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
But. Gosh darn it, I'm cute. So
there you go.
It works.
I look good in Betty Holly glasses.
Yes, you,
you
do.
Know why? So I know what you
fine looking
speak.
Gentleman over there.
Oh, thank you. And so. My garter belt, which is not visible presently, but does empower me.
Good to know.
And
good
little
to know.
Me. Anyway, so, very little me. That's the entire, the red lipstick, the cocktail dress. The
false ukulele, eyelashes.
False eyelashes.
Yeah. But then when I get to the venue, then I have to glue my thumb because...
Wait a minute, glue your thumb?
I put super glue on my thumb because I work in a health food store and I wash my hands constantly and I can't keep a callus on my thumb. So I put super glue on my thumb to protect it because otherwise it blisters up and hurts like a son of a bitch the next day.
That's cool.
Yeah,
cool.
So...
Wow. Things you just don't ever think about.
Yeah. No. It's pretty involved, the whole thing.
Yeah.
So, and then but I like to be quiet before a show. I mm-hmm. like to take a moment and just not talk and really like get my game face
on. Same way.
Yeah.
Yeah, the same way. Just give me 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Right? Thinking, going over the words and, mm-hmm. you know, really planting yourself and why am I doing this? And then mm-hmm. really just absorbing the room and like kind of scanning and
yeah.
Yeah, there is a good like 10 or 15 minutes where you just need to don't I'm not trying to be rude, but I'm just trying to get in the zone.
Exactly.
Yeah.
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 I'll talk to you, schmooze with you afterwards. Right. But right now,
yeah.
I'm here to work.
And well, so, it is work. Yeah. It's for sure work.
It absolutely yeah. is work. It's yeah. a lot of freaking work.
Right. I hate when people, too, are like, don't you want to drink before? Like, no, that's just going to fuck me up.
Exactly.
Yeah. I'll
yeah.
drink with you after.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, and I don't get to do that, really, because I'm a lightweight. One Coke and vodka, and I'm, like, done for.
Yeah.
So, and I drive everywhere because I live in a really small town.
Yeah. Well,
and
I don't know if that's lightweight or sensible.
Well,
no, I'm normal.
Yeah.
Coke. Yeah.
So, but I don't ever drink when I go out.
Good.
Yeah.
So
she puts on these. I know you say it's a small town, but there is such a need where you live for stand up, for comedy, for art, for words, for the truth, really. Because having met you just outside of Champaign and knowing you from there,
mm-hmm.
they call Danville the Dirty D.
The Dirty
the
D.
Dirty
yeah.
D.
Danville.
I know.
But she's super mom, like raising three kids,
yeah,
right?
Three teenagers.
And she puts on this amazing monthly showcase.
Yep.
I mean, talk about that a little bit.
Every April through October, I put on a show. I have a little courtyard at my house. And so it's called Courtyard Comedy. And I built a stage in the back. And well, my husband helped. I always say, like, I built a stage. No, I like...
You like Trump.
Yeah.
I built that tower.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm kidding. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a really racy
right.
joke.
So, but yeah, I have three comics come in from all over. And the last one that I did last October at my house, I had comics from Ohio and New Hampshire, I think, Florida, and Indiana. And it was crazy. But, you know, as people tour through and they're like, I have nothing to do on a Tuesday night. I'm like, I have a show. We pass a bucket. You get paid. And
those are the best. Yeah. Underground, yeah. Off the charts.
Yeah.
Do your kids know how fucking lucky they are?
I think so.
I mean, they're going to blend in pretty nicely, I think, yeah. as they get older with that kind of a ma that's got the, you know, we're doing comedy shows here tonight, you guys, so get your rooms clean and
yeah.
you know, set the lights.
Yeah, that kind of is how it goes, too. Yeah. And, you know, they all help and they've met a lot of really cool people. But the best part is that in my bathroom, I have this, it's called the guest register for the John. And it is from like 1950. And
it's a real John guest register?
Yes.
It's a real one?
My family has been writing in it for generations.
What? That's fucking great.
Yes. And so now, every time, I always tell the comics, please sign the book when you go to the bathroom.
I love it.
And they do. And it's so fun. But I'm like, what a weird thing. Like, you know, eventually, as some of these people make it big, and I'll be like, I can tell you exactly how their poop was in 2016. You know?
Oh my God.
It's like, it's so amazing. So, but you know, it's all about quirky and weird and charming. And I think that that's something that the world needs a lot more of.
Hear, hear.
You know, yeah. I think that.
Yeah, let's. Who are we kidding? We don't have to pretend to be something. It might make us into monsters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, okay.
Cool.
Should we get back to music?
Bing,
I feel like
bang.
We're talking about a lot of things.
No, that's how it is.
That's
fine.
Yeah.
You're,
oh, okay.
Yeah. You're very interesting. I hate to say it, but yeah. So,
I hate to
keep
say
talking.
I'm amazing.
Oh,
yeah. You're amazing. You know?
I hate to be interesting.
That came out a little wrong.
Yeah.
What I meant to say was the more interesting you are, the more we stay away from the music a little bit longer.
That works.
It might be good. But hit it. Number two. Okay, John Dillinger here. This is like all of a sudden I'm thinking Chicago for some reason.
Oh, I was Roxy Hart in Chicago at my local theater. My husband has a tattoo that says Roxy on his arm because, we don't want to get divorced. This is, you know, the old adage, if you put somebody's name on your body on a tattoo, then you get divorced. And so he put Roxy on there.
Good thinking.
I know, he's so smart. This is Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Squirrel Nut Zippers.
Yes.
I've heard of them, but I'm not familiar at all.
Oh my gosh, they're amazing. They came out in the 90s.
Is this Zydeco?
Well, it's kind of like that whole feel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was really into like the swing and when there was that whole resurgence.
Yes.
And in the late 1990s. And I'm a really big swing fan. I love vintage. I wear victory rolls. You know, that's kind of my thing.
She described her style as like Goodwill vintage.
Yes.
Goodwill
yes.
vintage.
Yes. Yeah. I buy clearance dresses and really weird,
you look
odd
amazing
pieces.
All the time.
Oh, thank you.
All the time.
I feel a little rough this morning because...
No, you're still so cool.
Oh.
She's wearing just like a black t-shirt and her hair's done pinned back, just a little bit long blonde hair. And then these amazing Converse. I don't know if you saw them, but they're sparkly red.
Oh, those are traps extraordinaire. Yes.
Are you familiar with the new electronic swing movement that's happening?
No.
It is so fucking cool.
Really?
Rob Stellar. Yeah, if I can pull some up, I will.
Oh, yeah.
And what do you do in Danville? Is there a scene that you're a part of, or is it just like your own kind of thing?
I go to Walmart.
Well,
that's my scene.
Like, which are now competing with Amazon for home delivery, so you might not even go there anymore.
Well, I mean, we get Amazon Prime, but we don't have home delivery.
Yeah, I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
But the swing thing, like I remember when I first moved to LA, Swingers had just come out and the whole rock
stuff.
Is that part of what you get involved into or no? I mean, the Squirrel Nut Zippers, like to me, that sounds like something you'd see live.
Yeah, well, and actually, I mean, back in the day, I was a big time. Like, I would go to the little dive bars, and I had a group of friends, and my friend Larry and I, we would swing dance all night long.
So you
and
did, okay.
Larry Gates, do you know him?
Mm-mm.
Larry Gates.
He's from Champaign. So
what's he do for a living, Larry?
He does music and studio work, and he's just a really cool frickin' guy.
He's a hipster. Yeah.
So he and his wife, Lindsay Gates Markle, are pretty awesome. And she does theater, and she's like, brilliant.
Oh, it's Lindsay's.
Yeah,
husband.
Lindsay's husband.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to move to Danville. Fuck this Hollywood stuff. There's a lot more going on there. Shit.
Well, you know, we get bored. And
there is
so...
it's quite an amazing artsy community.
That's great.
It's surprising, actually.
Yeah, it really is. And I think that we embrace it, but we don't put so much pressure on ourselves.
Sure.
Like out here, it feels like, you know, there's the industry and it's mm-hmm. really freaking intimidating. Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, we just love.
That's it, isn't it? It's really about, you know, we're being creative. It's a collective. It's a movement. It's natural. It's like, you know, let's have fun.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
May I play you this? Can I do this? Can I play this counter song?
Yes.
For her?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think
all right.
See, now it's kind of similar.
No, wait, listen. Hold on.
Okay.
It just is so cool. I'm so obsessed with this right
now.
Oh
my gosh. Okay. When we get done with this, I'm gonna have to show you one of the videos that I did for Explosion Buzz.
Okay.
Because I found this track of music and then I like wrote a song for this show that I was doing a spinoff of. And I took the actual cartoon from Explosion Bus, which was a YouTube show, and I put myself into the cartoon, and it kind of has that feel.
I love it.
Yeah, and then I just edited this whole crazy thing. And
well, this show, Explosion Bus, I'm sorry, that's a huge show. That's Jonathan Katz's show.
Yeah, I mean, it's still on YouTube. It was really fun.
How does a comic from Danville, and a mother of three, and a Walmart shopper, and a very stylish woman.
Aww.
And how do you, I mean, people come out to Hollywood to make that stuff happen. How'd it happen for you out of Danville?
I'm a big believer in the worst people can say is no, so ask.
Fuck yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's seriously. And I am unafraid to ask for things that are far out of my realm.
You got an Explosion Bus by simply asking.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, I was nice about it. And
oh,
you know, I mean, you have to have some good ideas to back it up. But that was one of the things that was really life changing for me. And actually through Explosion Bus, because at the time I wasn't doing stand up. And my friend Ian Abramson and Tim Barnes, which they're comics, Tim's in New York and Ian's out here.
Mm-hmm.
They had the original spinoff of Explosion Bus. And
sure.
Ian and I were talking on Facebook, and he really encouraged me to try stand-up. And he's like, no, I think you'd be really good at it. And so I did. And he was so sweet about it, because I would send him all of these terrible videos of like my first couple sets. And I'm like, look at me. I'm so funny. And they were awful. And he's like, yeah, you're doing great. Keep working on it. Keep working on it. You know, so
wow.
Polite and sweet. But really, I mean, that was what brought me into the world of stand-up. And now it's crazy, mm-hmm. crazy pants.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I
you
love
do.
It.
You travel everywhere.
Well, yeah, because mm-hmm. I have three teenagers at home. So it's the only time I get quiet.
Yeah.
I love you kids. Mommy loves you.
So we had this really nice sort of lounge song. Then we had the
Squirrel
Nut Zippers, mm-hmm. which really rocked our world and
mm-hmm.
inspired a
mm-hmm.
spinoff right here
yes.
over to the electronic.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, I just got so excited.
I like that.
Yeah.
I think the
okay.
more the merrier, you
okay.
know? I did it. Yeah, so it's great.
Okay, here we go.
Number three.
Let's Marvin Gaye and get it on.
Oh, I love this version.
You got the healing that I want. Just like they say it in the song. Till the dawn, let's Marvin Gaye and get it on. We got this king says to ourselves.
Oh, shit.
Amy Winehouse inspired.
Yeah.
Who is this? I don't even
This is Charlie Puth and
no
he's a big
Meghan Trainor.
They're both super pop stars right now.
Yeah. But I don't really get into a lot of the other stuff that they do, but like I pick onto one song, mm-hmm. and then all of a sudden I, you know.
Meghan Trainor, I'm surprised you're not more into, because she's a ukulele player also.
Well, yeah. And
brilliant. She's very talented.
I started really, really loving her, and I listened to her album a lot when it first came out, and then I just listened to it so much I think I got tired of it, I just kind of burnt myself out.
Give it another year, you'll fall back in love with it.
Yeah, and I do that too. I rotate mm-hmm. through stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, there again, this is all about, you know, empowering that inner part of me.
That's Marvin Gaye and Get It On.
Yeah, I mean,
love that line.
Yeah.
For a lot of reasons, you know?
Yeah.
It's an homage. It's like, I get that.
Yeah. You know? This song reminds me that, because one of the things, part of the ritual, is that when I walk into a room, I always tell my, like, especially in stand-up situations or like business situations, I always tell myself that I am the sexiest and most powerful woman in the room. And that is that air of confidence that I walk in with. Now, is it true? Oh, I'm sure not. There are a lot of other people that are beautiful and confident.
It's got to be true to some degree. Well, if you're making it happen like you're making it happen, I mean, there's something to that.
I was
going to
say, you should have seen the waiters at Saddle Ranch that came to our table the other night.
It's that we were talking about it in another show, too. It's like the artist dilemma with, I should be humble because I do have a great opportunity here, but...
Right.
That's nice. Who's the actor that says when they go into an audition, the thing they I think it was Bryan Cranston or Tom Hanks, just before they go into an audition, they go, ta-da. You know, and it's to themselves. Like,
yeah.
Ta-da.
Ta-da. But oh my God, I love that so much.
Yes. Yeah. But, you know, I think that that's something people don't tap into their own power.
Yeah.
And they're so, it's almost like they're afraid of success. I've never truly been successful, so I don't have anything to be afraid of yet, you know? So, like, I'm embracing it, if that makes any mm-hmm. sense, you know?
Yeah. It's a young soul. Like, they talk about young people having an old soul.
Right.
You know? And I think that those of us that, you know, kind of go for a few years into it, if you can hang on to a young, with that sort of, I guess, optimism and the fearlessness that goes with that. I get that. I totally get it.
Hey, even my blood type's B positive. That's true.
And now a dirty song.
Yes!
Wait, we did number three.
Wait, do you remember the first time you heard that song?
Yeah, my daughter played it for me.
Oh, okay.
And in the house you live in?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So
what's the house you live in like, besides the courtyard that's theater?
They have a John registry.
And a John registry.
And a John registry.
Is it a ranch house? Is it a two-story?
No, it is a ranch house. And actually, it's really funny because this house is like, it's so 1950s kitsch. Like, hardly anything has really been updated. And so, like, the toilet in the bathroom where I have the John registry is pink. Oh, I know.
Oh, my grandma's house has the same tile from the 50s. Yeah.
And so, you know, it's really just this cool, interesting thing. And like, you know, there's one in our kitchen, there's this bar of light switches and they all go different directions and it's really confusing and we never know which light we're turning on. So you'll hear people go click, click, nope, click, click. Nope, click, click. And it like takes us 10 minutes to turn on the light.
And your daughter's
like the
name?
The squeaky stairs.
I have, my 17-year-old is Amy.
Amy.
My 16-year-old is Natalie.
Natalie.
And then I have an almost 15-year-old son named Tim.
Amy, Natalie, Tim.
Yep.
Who played you the song?
Natalie.
And what was the day? What was like happening in the moment? Do you remember?
Or
is that typical of your family? Like, Ma, check this out.
Yeah, especially with Natalie and I, because she and I are very much in sync about music.
Oh.
And we both like the weird stuff. And she actually turned me on to my absolute favorite band, which we're going to get to in a minute.
Perfect segue.
Okay, yeah.
This was my daughter and I both absolutely love this band. Oh, this is the live version. This is the band Lake Street Dive.
That's Chicago.
Lake Street Dive. And
sounds like they're here with us right now.
Yeah, it kind of does.
I'd fucking rock out to this. I would be so fucking dancing
now. And this is just one of those bands that is absolutely, like, I love everything they do. Every song that they do, I'm just like,
party band.
Oh my gosh, that's brilliant. Yeah. I love singing along to this. Yeah. And so, yeah, I obsess about them.
Lake Street Dive Bar.
It's just Lake Street Dive is the
Lake
name of the
Street
band.
Dive.
Yeah.
What's the name of that song?
That's Miss Disregard.
Ooh.
Now, how does Natalie, who's 16?
Mm-hmm.
Does she get to go see shows like this and stuff like that? Or where'd she pick up this music from? Radio station?
No, honestly, probably from YouTube and
Pandora.
Yeah,
the
all that
internet
fun stuff.
Hole.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Have they been to their first concert yet? Have you taken that? I'm skipping ahead, but we'll get to hers. Have you taken the kids to a concert yet?
No.
You haven't. You've never taken any of them.
No.
Why?
No. Because we're. I have three teenagers. We're broke. Are you kidding me? It's all like braces and ramen noodles at my house.
Well,
it's pretty crazy.
She's braces.
God love you. Oh, God love you. I mean, I have a very, very dear friend who's raising two, and I get to have the pleasure of being with a I guess now 11 or 12 and a 16, two girls, and same kind of mother strength art.
yeah
so I get it.
Yeah,
banged up Camry 2006.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Oh yeah, we have a good car, and then the other two, one of them's not running and the other one's like this van that's just like hanging on with duct tape. But you know, I mean, that's okay, because I think that I want the kids to know that as they grow up and get into adulthood, I want them to know that it's not always easy. Mm-hmm. And I think that that's something that we've embraced in our house, is that, you know, when times are tough, we find something to laugh at and we refocus our energies and we don't focus on the negative stuff. You know, we find a way to work through it and laugh through it. And
I want
to
live in your house.
and you're middle America. I mean, Illinois, right? That's the middle.
They're literally right on the border of Indiana. So like, you're not sure what time zone it is.
Right.
It's
real
close.
We're kind of like the armpit of Illinois. Like it's like just kind of right there at the edge. And
it used to be a big booming factory town.
Danville.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then all the factories closed and everyone kind of moved out. And those who stayed
are awesome.
Yes. No, it really is a cool town.
It is. Dick Van Dyke's from Danville.
Yeah, exactly.
Now see,
and Gene Hackman.
Gene, my favorite, one of my top favorite male actors.
I know. Do you see? But this is the level of stardom that I have to live up to, because you know I'm the new generation trying to represent. And
I do quite well, frankly.
It, girl,
but
yeah.
it's like that's amazing.
Yeah,
Dick Van Dyke.
Dick Van Dyke. Yeah, he and Jerry. Oh. So, super fun.
There's a lot of little gems like that.
Yeah.
Patch Adams. I just saw someone was like, oh, Patch Adams is at our show today. I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh.
Right?
Yeah.
They did something new at the station theater, and Patch Adams showed up.
Wow.
Right?
Yeah. Well, and
REO Speedwagon is from Champaign.
Yeah.
I heard it from a friend.
Why can't I think of his name? American Ham. He was Ron Swanson on Parks and Rec.
The guy who's the carpenter.
Megan Mullally's husband.
That guy. We all know who he is.
Gosh,
his name doesn't matter.
Oh,
we know who he is.
Oh, such a brain fart.
The guy.
Anyway, but he's done stuff at the station.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, right? So, but yeah, we've got all these like really great little offshoots that have come from our area.
Yeah.
And I think it was really probably born out of the fact that there's just not a whole lot going on. And so, you know, you can either get a job in a factory or get an office job or...
Can I just like shout out some more love? Because I think you were involved in this project also. They do this thing called Pens to Lens.
Oh, yes!
Oh my God, it is like the coolest freaking project they do.
It is. Yeah, I hosted the first 2 years of the big gala that we had, and they have kids write movie scripts. And then all of these, the Champaign Filmmakers Society, I think is what it's called, they all pick scripts and then they make these incredible movies. And they turn these little kids' scripts into full-blown productions. And
it is the coolest.
Who's behind it?
Outstanding.
Do you do like bake sales or something for it?
I think everyone does it for free.
Yeah.
And
Chris and
Ann whatever Lukeman. Funding that they might need for like props or set or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. I think it's the Champaign Film Society.
Yeah.
But it's a big deal.
But it is a really big deal.
Yeah. And my family, my kids have been in a few of the movies. And I mean, it's just really fun. And it's one of those interesting life experiences that now, looking back on it, my daughter can go, oh, I was in Susan and Daisy's Big Adventure. And, you know, it, and it's on YouTube. And, like, I was on Fluffy Stein. And so it's just
It's their yearbook.
And and how encouraging for a 5, 6, 7, 8, 10-year-old to be able to write something and then see it come to life.
Yeah.
And encourage kids to write.
Yeah.
I think that we've
And especially to write, like, film industry and, you know. Uh-huh. And it's so funny because I think that sometimes the kids will write things and they're very serious, you know, as a third, fourth grader. Uh-huh. And, you know, this is important. And then when you see it on the big screen, adults are laughing because it's written to be so serious, but it really is quite cute and sweet.
Yeah. It's wonderful.
That's so serious.
Pens,
you know.
Pens to Lens.
Pens to Lens. It's a wonderful organization. And I think that you can probably donate to that.
I love being here in Hollywood, but mm-hmm. there is part of me that's like, I miss that small town sense of community, and we're really all in it together. And I don't think you get that here so much in LA.
I don't think so. I mean, we are a company town, and mm-hmm. and it knocked the wind out of my sails because I came from small town. Like, you know, I was lucky to be around Newhouse School at Syracuse and Ithaca. We had Rod Serling,
right.
Peter Kling, it was a film school.
And right.
So there was some opportunities there. I had no idea how lucrative they were, but definitely when I came with my development deal during the must-see TV days, mm-hmm. Seinfeld, everybody had money, friends. Right. I couldn't hang. It was not... Something wasn't clicking, and I think it was mm-hmm. the fun. And that since changed. My soul died, and now I can do it. I think that's a Jimmy Tingle joke. That's somebody else's joke, not mine. In any case, my retirement, I know, is rock solid in terms not financially, but I own a house in Syracuse, New York, mm-hmm. and the Newhouse School is still there. It's a small factory town in upstate New York. It's probably similar to Danville.
Mm-hmm.
Shit's going on. Mm-hmm. You know, we don't have to be living in fucking Burbank
to make
art.
And
crossing our fingers. It's happened all over the world.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and that's one of the great things now about the accessibility that's available with the internet. You know, really anybody can be somebody right where they are.
Right.
And that's one of the things that's been wonderful for me because I'm committed to raising my kids and hopefully getting them out of the house. And, but you know, I mean, parenting is really important, and so I can't always be gone. I can't always be on the road, and so I really have to balance that. And so I write a lot of my jokes on Facebook in statuses and, like, kind of test the waters mm-hmm. and kind
of... You're not alone there. A lot of us
How do
that.
You protect it, though? Like, what if all of a sudden you turn on Kimmel Says Your Joke or something?
Well, here's the fun thing. Since I put everything in a song, it's real difficult to steal.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah, it's sort of that because I ease into it and then get really, really crazy and then, you know, bring it back around. You can't really pull something out because without all of it, it's out of context and, you know, and it's a craft. And writing musical comedy is hard.
Mm-hmm.
You have to sell a joke for 3 to 5 minutes,
ah,
a single concept.
Yeah.
And that's difficult. I don't know if you've ever tried to tell a joke for 5 minutes without stopping, but, you know.
Not intentionally.
Like, yeah, so.
That's awesome.
So.
Song number 5.
Oh, okay. Here we go.
I miss your voice. I find that I don't talk to you for days at a time. I don't know why. When I call, you won't pick up the line.
Hmm.
Can we?
So this is Christabel and the Johns.
That depends on what you decide to do. I can't be of everything, but I can still be a good friend to you.
So smooth, right?
Yes.
Oh. So
that's like you. Like you're smooth.
Oh.
Like, yeah, from the moment I saw you out on the street on Olive Avenue outside, it's been a smooth groove.
Yeah. This band, actually, we have a winery in the Danville area. It's in between Danville and Champaign, called Sleepy Creek Vineyards. And my friends Don and Joe Taylor used to own it. And they're really big into the filmmakers and the local filmmaker group.
They were doing stand-up there, too, for a minute.
Well, they had a few shows.
Yeah, the Tuttles were
there. At the winery?
Yeah.
Oh,
and
okay,
so,
okay.
But anyway, they would have musical guests. And so... The Christabel and the Johns were
they
the
really?
Guests that they had. Yeah.
Wow.
They came twice and I saw them both times and I'm like, Krista, I love you. You're so amazing. And I, like, gave her this vintage crazy feather hat that looked like so her. And I mean, It's really fun. So
this is so important. I'm sorry. I mean, I get philosophical and
no,
I get
that's
into this
fine.
Kind of
Bring
Mickey
it
Mouse
on.
Whimsy
I've had
stuff.
Coffee.
It's just so goddamn important that, you know, the young people get an understanding of like how vital it is to have an afternoon and recognize to be in this winery, to be this place. And that, you know, these people are expressing themselves through music mm-hmm. and through, you know, positive energy. That
yeah.
why is that? I mean, we've got to move that into a vital aspect of our child rearing, you know,
yeah.
prospects, I guess.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's very important. My kids were all, they're all very musically inclined anyway, but we have a plethora of instruments at my house and, you know, they've all written songs at some point and,
wow.
you know, yeah. I mean, it's just, but that's something that's so important is that music speaks to our soul
mm-hmm.
and, you know, you can listen to a song and it makes you feel emotions from 20 years, you know, mm-hmm. it just brings you right back and it's the power of music. And so that was one of the big things that we deal with in our house is,
mm-hmm.
yeah, music. If you're sad, you listen to a sad song. And if you're happy, you listen to a fun song. And
Pharrell Williams on repeat.
Because
you're happy. I hate that song.
Yeah, it's really annoying.
Okay,
that
we're
is
happy.
Not my yeah. happy song.
No. Yeah. It'll come back around.
No, please.
Yeah. When we're out in the old folks' yeah. home. I remember that. He'll be playing it.
Yes.
Wow.
So Christabel and the Johns, they were absolutely wonderful, and I loved having them come to the winery and getting to know them. And then afterwards, we started doing more and more at the winery. And for a while, there was talk of my husband and I writing a pirate musical with the owners. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's called Coxswain. And so, yeah, the song that I wrote was I Have a Really Big Deck. And
oh,
so,
Coxswain. Yeah. Yes, yes.
So I still have that. We still have that in the works, but maybe one of these days when we're old and retired, we'll finish it. And then there will be this new off-Broadway pirate musical.
No,
but I think
great.
It'd be really
yeah.
fun.
I think so too.
Now, when you say pirate musical, it's really about pirates.
It's really yeah. about pirates.
Yeah.
yeah.
And so. Danville.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean.
Winery.
Yeah.
The mind spins.
It's perfect, right?
Oh my God.
So weird and quirky, which yeah. is why it works.
Yes.
So.
It is so authentically you.
Yes. Yes. We're like.
Smooth five. Mm, nice, yeah. nice shuffle for your introductory first visit.
Aw, that's it.
Shuffle.
I don't want
that face.
I don't want to go. This
well,
is
we're not done.
Oh, good. Oh, thank goodness.
Are you kidding?
You're like smooth five. That's like
well, we got
really
through the five.
We,
yeah. The show goes by quick sometimes, too
oh,
quick.
Does,
but
yes.
We got a couple more things we got to touch base on. Should
oh,
I? Can I?
Yes.
Now? As Maggie often says, it's my favorite part of the show.
Oh.
And it's just a general curiosity, and you know, just who knows what's going to come of it. But what was your very first concert ever?
Billy Joel.
Wow.
Now, yeah.
Who'd you go with? Where was it?
I was in high school.
You didn't even have to think. Some people have to go, what was my...
Well, I'm not counting all, like, the concerts that I went to, like, for church and stuff.
No, right.
Yeah,
well,
like
some people, that's all they have.
Yeah.
yeah but that's what we're looking for, the big
did
one.
Did a lot of that. But yeah, that first big one was Billy Joel.
Billy Joel.
My friend Julia Megan Sullivan, we went to high school together, and she won tickets. And
she won them?
She won them on the radio.
Radio.
Oh,
yes!
Great.
Yes.
Oh, that's so amazing. Guess what?
Yeah.
Oh.
And so she asked if I would be willing to go. And I had never driven to Champaign before on my own because I was like 17.
Wow.
And so, yeah, so we drove over there and we ate at the Cracker Barrel first.
What kind of car did you drive?
So, yeah. Oh, it was like this horrible, like, 84 Chevy Celebrity,
nice.
Like, you know, big clouds of black smoke coming out the back. It was great. But the thing is that at that concert, it was right after he had split with Christie Brinkley. And he was all, like, jaded and bitter. And he was just...
Did it make it even better?
Yeah, he started playing Uptown Girl and, you know, they did the,
Oh my God, that would be
and
weird.
Then instead of singing like the lyrics, he was like, kiss my ass, and that was the end. And it was like, it was,
oh my God, no one knows about
it
that.
It was outstanding. Yeah, so, but that was in Champaign. And
oh my God,
yeah.
This is so raw.
Yeah, and so I always felt like, you know, that was just a magical thing for me.
Oh yeah, I
yeah,
know those
no
days.
Yeah.
17, the beat up car, going to the concert.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so Jeez. Living the life.
So it was just you and your girlfriends?
It was just me and Julia.
Oh,
you and
okay.
Julia?
Yeah.
Wow. You still talk to her?
Yeah, actually, she's in the theater scene.
Oh, great.
And she does a lot with both Danville and Champagne. And yeah,
cool.
She's really,
you're lucky,
really freaking talented.
You're lucky. You know what? When people say like, I'm so glad I got out of my podunk town. My sister still is in Ithaca. I'm like, you lucky. Everything comes to you.
Yeah.
Now, you know, it's like we could, it's so vital. I'm jealous a little bit right now.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just going to ask you, David, have you ever won anything on the radio? I only ask because I have an interesting story.
I won some, I think I won McDonald's coupons for saying two all beef patties, special sauce, cheese, pickles, onions, special sauce on bun. WTKO.
They just called you?
No, we had to call in. I was like the seventh caller. If you can say it without messing up, two all beef patties, special sauce, cheese, pickles, onions, sesame seed bun. He did it. You know, and usually my brother and sister would tickle me while I was on the phone. So, you know, luckily they let me alone that time. So, yeah.
So you won free McDonald's coupons.
I think I won a free Big Mac.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
The one and only time I've ever won anything off the radio, I had taken a break in my radio career. And I was in I was in Phoenix, Arizona, and I had just left a country radio station. So I was obsessed still with this country music. And in Phoenix, we were driving around, I don't know, doing whatever, trying to find mischief or pick up a buddy from work, working the overnight shift. And on the country station, it was like, coming up today, we're going to be broadcasting live at this place and we're giving away Keith Urban tickets. And I looked at my friend and I said, I'm going to get those. And I swear to God, we went to the place, put my name in the little hat, and I'm flirting with the DJs, like doing whatever. And we go and like hang out at this event. And next thing I know, they're like, Maggie Mayfield. And I was like, that's me. And I run up and he didn't even say anything, but I like jumped on the DJ, legs around him, just like monkey holding him. And he was so excited.
Way to commit, Maggie. Right?
And he goes, you want a t-shirt? I was like, cool, thanks.
T-shirt.
Hold on. He goes, I'm just kidding. You won the tickets. I was like, fuck yeah.
Oh my gosh.
And so my buddy goes, he's like, you just won Keith Urban tickets. What are you going to do next? I was like, go get hot dogs at IKEA. Let's go.
Yeah, go big time.
Oh man.
Go big time.
Probably still to this day, like top five concerts. It was so good. So good.
Wow.
Winning is fun. That's all I'm saying.
Yes.
And so I'm so glad that you had that experience with Billy Joel.
Yeah.
It was part of a radio win and a lifetime memory. That was your first.
Yeah. Winning is fun.
It was my first.
Well, how do we find you online? And what's your corner of the internet?
You can go to my website at www.charliehestercomedy.com.
And that's where all your shows are posted. Do you do videos and sketches and stuff too?
I have one video on there right now, but it basically tells you where I'm at, and it also talks about the fact that I'm more than happy to be a keynote speaker for any domestic violence events that are happening.
Oh, that's great.
And I do that free of charge. I just want the cost of travel, and you know, if it's far away. But yeah, that's something that's really important to me, because I'm a domestic violence survivor.
Wow.
And it's really important to me to keep giving back to that community. And so, you know, I try and do supply fundraiser, or you know, whatever I can do to help my local women's shelter, because they help me in a time of need.
Oh.
So, but yeah, it talks a little bit about that there on my website as well. And so, yeah, I just, you know, you just got to keep trying to be a good person and keep your heart open and let the universe bring whatever.
Yeah. And be open to that.
Yeah. And then amazing things happen.
You are so delightful.
Aw, thanks. You too, Maggie.
Oh, this has been so great.
I know.
Thanks
and
so much.
Yes, you too.
A new friend, and we have so many connections.
I know.
Like all over. It's amazing.
I can't wait to dish about all this later.
Please, yeah. And you'll come back and maybe do our live show. We got big plans.
Oh,
so you're helping make this show.
Oh.
So thank you.
Oh, I feel so special.
You are.